On behalf of Pastor Joe and all of us here at Portland Mount Hope Church, our hope is that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk with Jesus in confidence and in boldness. Check out more of the messages and events happening here at Portland Mount Hope by going to our website at portlandmounthope.org and come join us Sundays at 10 a.m. And now, here is Pastor Joe.
Good morning, Mount Hope Church. I hope you've enjoyed your journey so far. Today I want to talk to you about breakdowns on how to deal with life's unexpected problems. Nobody likes to have a flat tire in a snowstorm. And let's face it, there are times that the unexpected hits us in life. I want to talk to you and show you how we're going to deal with it and get through it well. So come on aboard. It's time for a journey. Let's hit the road. All right, our road trip continues. The first week we learned how to set our GPS, get God's direction for our life, and last week we looked at going the speed limit. So often we are in a society addicted to speed and technology. We're addicted to technology, we're addicted to speed, and it's wreaking havoc in our culture. I read from a psychologist last week, we're seeing the first generation fully raised on technology, and the byproduct is stunning, and it's extraordinarily alarming. And we have to live life at the pace that God has for us. But today I want to talk to you about breakdowns. How many of you have ever been on a road trip and you had your car break down? Maybe a flat tire. Lift your hands up. Yeah, it's not fun, is it? Now, Jackie, what's that? I know, Jackie, you were going on vacation, was it last year? You're going down to Virginia or some place. Just got out of town and hit a deer. Messed your car up. Hitting deer and road trips do not go well together. And she turned around and she missed her vacation because of a type of breakdown on the journey. Well, you know what? On our road trip through life, we experience occasional breakdowns. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, is how to deal with these breakdowns. These breakdowns are the problems and the disappointments that we experience in life. And the first thing we need to understand is a very, very simple truth about life. It will never be problem-free. You know, there are some people that you look at their life and it does not look like they have a problem in the world. But they ever have or probably ever will have a problem in the world. And you think, man, I would love to be them because they live a problem-free life. Ever thought that? Well, I can guarantee you that they've had to deal with their share of problems. It's just how they chose to deal with them that sometimes makes the difference. Jesus tells us in John 16:33, he said, "In this world, you'll have trouble. Take courage, I have overcome the world." In this world, you will have trouble, Jesus said. Let me ask you this. Where do our problems originate? Eventually, they'll get the right PowerPoint up and turn the music off. But let me ask you this. Where do our problems originate? Because often, when something goes wrong, who do we get angry and blame? Maybe our spouse, but someone a little higher than that. So often, God gets blamed for the things going on in our life. Does he not? Hello? Have you ever blamed God for something? I think we all have at some point in time. It's all right. He's a big God. He understands. He can handle it. But let me tell you something. We're wrong in who we're blaming. Let me give you three areas where our problems originate. One is that we live in a sinful, fallen, broken world. And we live among imperfect people. How many think that's problematic? Hello? Problematic? Number two, the Bible teaches us that the devil roams about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. That someone is us. How many would say that's probably a little problematic? Right? Then thirdly, on a daily basis, there's something called the carnal nature that still is attached to us, and it will be to the day that we die, and we're supposed to kind of put it to death every day, but it rears its ugly head, trying to convince us to go in the wrong direction and to sin and to do things that will create problems in our life. How many would say that's problematic? So understand, we have problems, we blame God, but the reality is it's the broken world we're in, it is the devil who wants to inflict pain. He's come to kill, steal, and destroy, and then it's just our sinful nature getting in the way. Problems can make us feel alone and stranded on the roadside of life. Have you ever gone through a problem and felt all alone in the midst of it? Maybe you felt like nobody cared, nobody understands, nobody else in the world has ever, ever gone through this. Boy, it's easy to throw yourself a party, a pity party. But understand, regardless of what disappointment, regardless of what problem we have, we're never alone. Jesus meant it when he said that I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. How many of you know what OnStar is? How many don't know what OnStar is? Everybody pretty much, okay, OnStar is in the newer vehicles. My pickup don't have it. It comes in the newer vehicles. That way, if you have a breakdown or if something goes wrong, you press a button and you call for help. And help will come. Is that correct? Yeah. I don't have OnStar, but okay. But it's there if you need it. Well, let me tell you something. We're connected to a spiritual OnStar. And we can call anytime there is trouble. His name is Jesus, and he paid for it. He paid the price for it. But how do we turn that spiritual OnStar on? James 5:13, it says, "Is anyone among you suffering or in trouble? Let him pray." Psalm 34:17 says, "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all." Everybody say all. All their troubles. In other words, our spiritual answer is turned on when we go to God in prayer. All right? There is help for those who are willing to turn to God. The question is, are we willing? We're quick to call everybody else and say, "Pray for me," and that's good. But how much time do we spend praying ourselves to God? We need to turn to God because he's qualified to help us. Let me, just in case you doubt, let me give you some of God's qualifications. All right? Some of God's qualifications. We find them in a couple of Psalms. Psalm 121, verse 1 through 3 says this. "I will lift up my eyes to the mountains, from whence shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip, and he who keeps you will not slumber." That verse gives us three qualifications, all right? The first one is that God is able. How do we know he's able? He is able. What is his qualifications to make him able? The Bible says that he made heaven and earth. And if God can create heaven and earth, how do you think he's qualified to help us in whatever problem we're dealing with in life? What do you think? Scripture says that the earth is the Lord's and all that it contains. We have a financial problem. That's not an issue for God. So I think God is qualified. He's able. Secondly, understand the heart of God, the heart of our Father. He's protective. Because that verse says that he will not allow your foot to slip. Now let me give you this visual. Imagine I had my little grandson come and say hi to me at break. And he's a little over a year old, 14, 15 months, something like that. And so we're walking hand in hand, and if he stumbles, guess what? I'm not going to let him fall. He might stumble, but because I love my grandson more than life, I will hold on to his hand tight, and I will protect him from falling and getting hurt. That is the God that we serve. He is a loving Father that he has our hand. Even though we stumble, even though we may stumble, he will not allow us to fall. Now, understand this. Last week I quoted a verse that says we need to walk in step with the Spirit of God. I've had kids and grandkids, you know, run out way ahead of me, and they stumbled and they fell and they got hurt because they decided to get out in front of Dad or Grandpa, or they lagged behind. As we walk in step with God, he has our hand, so he's protective. And third, his third qualification is that God is able. It says that he will not slumber. Understand that God never sleeps. He's got our back 24/7. And God is not disinterested. He cares deeply about even the smallest issues in our life. You know, one thing that can be pretty traumatic for some people is the loss of a pet. You know, for those who don't have pets, we, you know, hey, it's just an animal. Just, you know what? That loss can be gut-wrenching. There can be that time of grief and mourning. God cares about that. He cares about the smallest details in our life. But if those qualifications weren't enough, Psalm 46 gives us a little bit more. Verse 1 and 2 says that God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. So these verses tell us that God's our refuge. He is the place that we run to and we find shelter in the midst of the storm. Regardless of what we're going through, we're stranded on the roadside of life, there is a place that we can go to that we can find shelter, we can find a place of refuge, we can find someone who cares deeply about our problems. Not only does he care, but he has the ability to help us through those problems. Secondly, this verse tells us that God is our strength. So often, and I'm finding this out, the older you get, the strength and the energy level begins to wane some. So when you're facing a problem, and the bigger the problem, the more overwhelming it can be, and it's like, I just don't have the oomph to deal with this. God wants to impart his strength to us, that regardless of what we're going through, he wants us to lean on him because his strength is enough for the both of us. And thirdly, it says, we will not fear. We need to understand that God is our peace. We do not need to fear anything that life throws at us. I don't care what it is. It could be the call from a doctor. It could be the most horrific thing. Oh, it could break our hearts, and we have to walk through that process. But understand that God is our peace. In the midst of it, there's always hope. There's always hope. And that enables us to live fearless rather than fearful. So understand this, that life will never be problem-free. There are times that we will break down on our journey through life. There will be breakdowns. But we're never alone in the midst of it. And God is highly qualified. He is more than qualified to come alongside and help us in the midst of it. Press on, Star. Go to God in prayer. Boom. Help's on the way. But you know what? There's a few things that can help us in the midst of it. So we find ourselves, we're broken down. There's a problem or a disappointment that broadsided us on this journey through life. What can we do to help us deal with those breakdowns, those disappointments? Well, I'm going to give you three things, and there are many things that we could talk about, but I want to give you three this morning. That in the midst of it, you know, I think one of the emotions I hate the most is disappointment and frustration. Those things just, man, I hate disappointment and I hate frustration. And it just causes this internal storm to rage in me, and I have to get perspective. So, three things that we can do. We have a role to play in being rescued, if you will. Number one, in the midst of it, be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything, everybody say everything. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, let me clarify a couple things. All right? Everything means everything. The good, the bad, the ugly. Regardless of where you find yourself in life, what you're going through, God said, be thankful. Second thing I need to clarify, it says in everything, not for everything. We can read that verse if we don't read it carefully. Why would God want me to be thankful because of problems in my marriage or problems in my health or finances or whatever it is? No, God's not saying be thankful for those things. He said in the midst of it, be thankful. Have an attitude of gratitude. Understand this, that thankfulness helps us maintain a positive attitude and a clear perspective, even in life's most difficult and challenging circumstances. So choosing to be thankful in the midst of it will help us not to turn sour in our attitude. Believe me, I've hated some of the situations I've been in life, but I've learned firsthand that and that gratitude makes me appreciate more things, the things that I've truly been blessed with. About a month ago, I took a week off, and I did a staycation. I worked around my house, did some work on landscaping, used shovels, and lifted heavy stuff. Diane and Debbie were there and helped. And I have not stopped hurting physically since. I have learned that with two artificial hips and an artificial knee, I cannot do near the things I used to do. And then I drive to and from church, and I see people older than me jogging on the river trail. And I used to love to jog. I have a choice. And every time I'm faced at this crossroads, God brings back to my mind a gentleman that I had an encounter with in the Ivory Coast on my first trip to Africa. Anthony and I are standing in the marketplace just kind of taking it all in, and I feel this tug on my pant leg. And I look down, and there's a beggar who his legs, he had no legs. I don't know if he was born that way or if they are amputated from an accident. I don't know. So he stood, you know, maybe 2 feet tall. He had moccasins on his hands. That was served as his legs and how he got around, and he begged for a living. And it left such an imprint on me that he comes to my mind every time I even begin to remotely want to feel sorry for myself. Because I can look and say, look at that guy, he's got to be in his 60s and he's jogging down the river trail. Dan Seal and I have been walking for the last year or two, and he called me the other day. We haven't gotten it into gear yet, and some muscle, something's going on in the back of my knee, and I can't walk, and it's, you know, it wouldn't be wise to go out and walk. And it's right there is a crossroads that I have. I can say, God, why me? Why did this happen to me? Why can't I go out and do and go that direction? Or I can choose, I think of this gentleman that I met, and I can choose the path and say, God, I am so thankful. Yeah, I live in some pain, but I can walk. I have legs. I thank you for the medicine and for the medical expertise to give me new joints. And Lord, I can touch, I can taste, I can see, I can touch, I can smell. I've had a couple of sinus surgeries. I have, at best, 25 to 30% of my taste and my smell. And so I can choose. I can choose to be thankful for all that I have and all that God has blessed me with, knowing that there's a day when I get to heaven, there won't be one bit of pain, and I can run and I can run and I can run, and I can smell. I can take in all the aromas of heaven and taste to see that the Lord is good, you know, even literally, but I don't know, it's going to be good up there. Or I can choose to become angry and bitter and resentful of the problems that I have in my life. Understand this, that a negative and an ungrateful attitude leads us down a very dark and dismal path. It is a path that is filled with blame and criticism and anger and sulking. I know, because I've been down there a few times. It is a path of no responsibility. We are quick to blame others rather than taking responsibility for ourselves and what we're experiencing if we caused it. So the first thing that we can do is, in the midst of it, be thankful, all right? It's important to be thankful. The second thing, and this may not apply in every situation all the time, but it does apply, and that is to be repentant. If we're honest, some, not all, but some of our breakdowns along the road are self-inflicted. We've made poor decisions, and it led to sinful actions that caused a breakdown in a relationship or a breakdown in our finances or our health. And when it happens, and when it's our fault, we have to be mature enough, number one, to take responsibility for it, and we must be willing to deal with it. You know what that's called, being willing to deal with it? It's called repentance. We're told in 1 John chapter 1, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sometimes repentance is the very call that is needed to get the roadside assistance wanted. You hear that? Sometimes we want to blame the devil. It's not the devil's fault. Sometimes we want to blame the world, and it's not the world's fault. Or we want to blame someone else, and it's not their fault. We want to blame God, and it's never his fault. Sometimes we have to look in the mirror and take responsibility for our actions. Do not ever underestimate how much God wants to forgive and to cleanse us. That verse tells us that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Envision this, parents. Maybe your kids are growing up. When your child was little and you asked them to do something and they disobeyed, and as a result of their disobedience, they fell and they got hurt or they caused a problem, and they know it. And they come to you fully aware of their disobedience, fully aware of what their disobedience caused, and they come to you, "Daddy, I'm so sorry." And you know it's genuine and from the heart. You want to make sure they learn the lesson, but what is going to be your response? "Come here, sweetheart. I forgive you. Now, what did you learn from this?" That's the heart of our Heavenly Father. That when it's our fault, he's saying, "Come, I want to forgive you. I want to cleanse you. I want to restore you back to us so that you don't have to hide from me like Adam and Eve did in the garden. Just come and let's deal with it. I want to forgive you." But so often we're not willing to admit that we made a mistake or that we were wrong. So like Adam and Eve, we hide from God out of a guilty conscience. We stay away from church because of a guilty conscience. So that's the second thing that we can do. First, we want to be thankful regardless of the situation. Secondly, we want to be repentant if we know that we caused the breakdown in some way to some degree. And the final thing I want to mention is that we be expectant. Psalm 5, verse 3 says this: "In the morning, O Lord, thou wilt hear my voice." In other words, I'm going to turn the OnStar on. How many of you know the OnStar, you can turn it on? God wants to hear from us beyond breakdowns and being stranded, right? He'd love to hear from us every morning. "Hey, good morning, Father. How are you?" "I'm doing pretty good. Good night's sleep. Thanks. Love you. Just want to let you know that." He'd love to hear from us every morning. But it says, "Thou will hear my voice. In the morning I will order my prayer to thee, and I will eagerly watch." Understand this, that expectancy is proof that our prayers are faith-filled. Let me say it one more time. Expectancy is proof that our prayers are faith-filled. Let me ask you this. Why even bother praying if you don't feel like God is going to answer them? And the truth is, if we don't feel like God's going to answer them, we don't pray. That's the problem in the church world today, is that many have not excelled in the area of prayer. Many have not taken prayer as seriously as what I believe God would like us to. Now, understand this about prayer. God rarely answers prayer when and how we think he should. And we go to prayer, we got it all laid out. "Okay, God, this is what I need. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, where is it? Where is it? I've waited 15 seconds now, where is it?" And we expect God to answer the prayer exactly the way we perceive it in our mind. We're putting God in this little box, and it's kind of a twisted expectancy. It's good to pray and to believe. It's faith-filled. The expectancy is an evidence that our prayers are faith-filled. Saying, "God, I don't know when, I don't know how, but I know that you're God, that you love me, you care about the smallest things in my life, that you created the heaven and the earth, the earth is yours and all that it contains, and this little request is nothing. But I also know that you have my best interest in mind and that you're going to answer this prayer in the way that is, and in the timing that is to my best interest." if at all. Sometimes our prayers, the best thing God can do is not answer some of our prayers. Do you understand the context of what I'm saying that? I really don't want anybody to walk out of here and says, man, Pastor Joe says, anyway. Because sometimes, hey, let me ask you this. Have you ever had your kids or your grandkids ask for something that was not to their best interest and would have made you a bad parent or a grandparent to give it to them? Now, I'll cut grandparents slack, all right? We've already done our time. We can, you know, we can give them ice cream for lunch, all right? That's, you know, and we can get away with it. But sometimes we want something from our Abba Father that is, we want it, but it does not mean it is in our best interest. And God, being a loving Father, will not give it to us because he loves us too much to give us certain things. Does that make sense to you? Please understand the context in which I'm saying that. So we have to be careful to never put God in a box when it comes to answering prayer. Understand that he is smarter than we are. His ways are higher than our ways. They're better than our ways. And even though we think we're pretty familiar with our situation and what we're going through, and we have a good handle on it and a good perspective on it, God knows far better what we're going through than we ourselves do. So understand this. We need to pray. We need to engage the OnStar. And when we pray, we need to believe. We need to expect that our prayers are going to result in God moving on our behalf and to our best interest according to God's wisdom, not our own. And then we have to do the most difficult thing of all, and that is wait. How many hate waiting? I think OnStar was inspired from the Bible. I have zero evidence to prove that, but it seems to make sense. And I think Psalm 40 is the source. I think one day somebody read Psalm 40 and goes, oh, I'm going to call it OnStar. Let me just read you the first three verses. This is a Psalm of David. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord. Waiting and waiting patiently are two different things, right? I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and he heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, stranded along the road. I went into the ditch. It's muddy and it's dirty. I cried to God and I waited, and he came at the right moment, and he, not only did he take me out of the miry clay, but he set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. And then verse 3, he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. God moved in our circumstance and in our situation in a way that, how many of you have ever been stuck in the mud, literally? You know, you just spin and spits mud out everywhere, and you don't want to be behind the tire when that happens. And you're stuck. Well, that's what happened to David, and he cried out to God, and then he waited for God to move in his perfect timing, and God came down, and he took David out of his situation, and he put him over here on solid footing. And as a result, there was such a sense of gratitude and thanksgiving to David. He said, he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to my God. And verse 4 is not on the screen, but it goes on to say, how blessed is the man who's made the Lord his trust and has not turned to the proud nor to those who lapse into falsehood. In verse 5, many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders which thou hast done and thy thoughts toward us. There is none to compare with thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count. David could go on and on and on and on, and that was not the first time or the only time that God had to reach down and get David, who got stuck in the ditch, and put him on solid footing. That happens to all of us. in one way or another, to one degree or another. It's not a one-time incident. You know, it might be a poor financial decision that landed us in the ditch, and God takes us out in the right timing, takes us out too soon, we don't learn the lesson, he leaves us there too long, we can become embittered, and he brings us out, and oftentimes learning, you know, it's like, would you learn already? I want to deliver you. I want to take you out of there, but would you learn from this? And sometimes, I don't know, I think maybe we can delay when we get out. But anyway, so one time it can be the result of a financial decision, or maybe we were treated unfairly at work and we had nothing to do with it, but we find ourselves in the ditch and God can intervene there. And another time it might be a relational ditch, and so on and so forth. They call that life. Those are some of the breakdowns that we encounter, we experience along the way. So let's not think we have God all figured out, that we're smarter than he is, and we know how and when he's going to do things and answer prayer, but we need to be expectant. We need to pray. We need to engage our OnStar and believe with all of our heart, God, I know that you love me. I know that you care about me, and I believe that you're going to move in this situation. I don't know when, I don't know how, I'm not going to limit you, put you in a box, but all I know is that you're going to move, and I'm going to learn something in the midst of it. I want to close with a story about how God moves sometimes in ways that we don't expect. It says, the only survivor of a shipwreck washed up on a small, uninhabited island. He prayed feverishly for God to rescue him, and every day he scanned the horizon for help, but none seemed forthcoming. Can you relate to that? You're stranded somewhere, you prayed feverishly, God doesn't seem to be moving. He thought his prayers would be answered immediately and easily. It's wonderful when that happens, but that's not always the way it works. Exhausted, he eventually managed to build a little hut out of driftwood to protect him from the elements and to store his few possessions. But then one day, after scavenging for food, he arrived home to find his little hut in flames, the smoke rolling up to the sky. The worst had happened. Everything he brought with him, everything he had, was lost in the fire. He was stung with grief and anger. God, instead of getting better, things are getting worse. God, how could you do this to me? He cried. Ever felt that way? You know, you prayed, and boy, you had that expectancy. God's going to move, and God's going to move. And, well, God's going to move sometime. God, you going to move? You know, and we get tired of waiting. And then, so we do some things, or things don't go the way we want, and then we become angry and even resentful toward God, even though it's not his fault. We take it out on him. Back to the story. But early the next day, however, he was awakened by the sound of a ship that was approaching the island that had come to rescue him. How did you even know I was here? Asked the weary man of his rescuers. We saw your smoke signal, they replied. See, he wasn't thinking that way. And oftentimes when things are happening in our life, we've prayed, we've committed it to God, and we're waiting, and we're hoping, and we're believing, and we're expecting. Other things begin to happen and unfold, and we go, God, I don't understand this. And we, like the man in the story, became angry and bitter. But God, Romans 8:28, all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. We may not understand it. God's ways are higher than our ways. But understand this. Until the day we go home to be with Jesus, we're on this journey through life. And from time to time, there will be disappointments, there will be problems, there will be setbacks, there will be breakdowns. But we can be rest assured that we are never alone in the midst of it. God is highly qualified to help us regardless of the situation. The role that you and I play is that we need to be people who are thankful, people who are repentant when that's applicable. And third is that we need to pray and be expected and believe God that he cares about us enough, that he's going to move in his timing and his way, and he's going to, like David, pull us out of the miry clay and put our feet on the solid rock, and we're going to have this song of praise and thanksgiving to God. My challenge to you is this. If you find yourself broken down along life's road, this week your challenge, turn on your OnStar. Go to God in prayer. Do it with thanksgiving. Again, if there's repentance needed, repent. Be expectant. Wait patiently for the Lord and see what God will do in your midst. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you that you love us enough that you care about even the smallest details of our life. You know, let me ask you this. Have you begun your spiritual journey, that faith journey? Have you begun it? If not, I want to give you an opportunity. It's the most exciting journey that you'll ever be on. So if you're here this morning, you've never made a decision for Jesus Christ, you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, forgive you of your sins, and to be your Lord and Savior, or maybe you did once upon a time, but you got away from it, never walked it out, and you want to return to Christ this morning, I'm going to ask you, if you fall into either one of those categories, just slip up your hand. He loves you. He cares about you. He cares about the smallest problems and details in your life. How many of you would say, Pastor, that's me. Would you pray for me? Okay. How many here would say, Pastor, I'm in the midst of a breakdown right now, a problem or a disappointment in life that I feel stranded, I feel alone, I feel like God doesn't care. Would you pray with me that I can get back on solid footing and get moving again? If that's you, just slip up your hand. How many of you just say, Pastor, I got problems going on, pray. Okay. Thank you. It's okay. To raise your hand and say, I got a problem doesn't mean you caused it. All right? You don't have to be embarrassed to raise your hand. Thank you. Father, I pray for those who've raised their hands. Lord, I pray for others. You know our lives. You know if we're broken down on the side of the road, engulfed in a problem that is overwhelming us. Father, we ask for your intervention in that problem. We turn on our spiritual OnStar right now, and we call out to you, and we ask for deliverance. Father, we pray that you would come and intervene in our marriage, our family, our finances, our health, our work situation. Maybe it's a problem with a sibling or a child, whatever it may be. Father, we ask that you would move in ways that are higher than our ways. Give us the patience, the strength that we need to stand firm and expectant. And God, we know that you are faithful. And we thank you. And we believe you for great and mighty things. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said,